From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of December, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County. And we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll remind you, if you've not yet picked up a ticket for the Farm Assets Conference, that's Friday of this week at the IHO Hotel. Should be a great day. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost now is $90. You can either do that online ahead of time, that's easier for us, or walk in that morning and we'll get you signed up. The doors open at the IHO Hotel at 8:30 a.m. And if not the Farm Assets Conference, why not the Illinois Farm Economic Summits? Those are in January 9, 10, and 11 in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. All the details are online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at 479 and a half. It was down 5 3/4. May at 492 and a half, 4 3/4 lower. In December of next year, 3 3/4 lower at $5.07¾. January soybeans at 1307 and a half, down 16 1/4. The March 16 1/2 lower at 1326 1/4. And November soybeans, 1274 1/4, down 7 1/4 cents. Bean meal futures off $8.10. The bean oil, 59 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat down 20 1/4 at 6.05 1/4 for the March, and the hard red March at 6.32, 24 3/4 cents lower. Live cattle futures down $1.37½. Feeders were off $1.87½, and lean hogs today at $1.52½ lower at $66.72½. Crude oil, $69.62 a barrel, $1.02 higher, and gasoline up 4 9/10 at $2.02 of a cent. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us to discuss what's happened in Chicago. Kind of another ugly day. I guess a 15-cent move isn't a huge move, but just by the time you start adding things up, the trend has been down. Can we start, Greg, with stocks to use ratios in the United States and what they tell you about the marketplace?
Yeah, the soybean stocks to use ratio for here in the United States is a relatively tight 5%. That's very snug. And so the funds and other traders realize that if South America does have a short crop, that could throw some demand back our way here in the U.S. And that's why the funds remain long soybeans. They think there's a potential story there. It's obviously it's weather dependent, but the funds are willing to stay long soybeans until they feel more confident that the soybean crop down in South America is going to be something close to average. Corn, let's go with wheat on the other hand. The stocks use ratio there is just a burdensome 35%. We are the seller of last resort. Our wheat is higher priced than other countries, and so the other importing countries are going to buy from those other countries while it's available, and if and only if they run out of wheat will they turn to the U.S. That's why it was kind of nice to see China buying U.S. wheat the last 10 days. We thought maybe wheat had gotten cheap enough that we would start to see some other countries buying wheat, and we saw China buying wheat, and we did get an 88-cent rally in wheat over those 10 days that China was buying wheat. That was the good news. The bad news is since then we've probably given back about 25 cents of that 88-cent rally. So we're still up 55 cents in wheat from the lows, but we were at some awfully low prices. And then corn's in the middle. We've got a stocks-to-use ratio of corn of about 15%. So not as tight as the 5% on beans, not as burdensome as the 35% on wheat, and so corn's kind of just stuck in the middle.
What's an okay stocks-to-use ratio for comparison? Is it 10%, 8%?
10%. Anything below 10%, the trade usually is nervous. That's a very tight stocks-to-use ratio. So 10% or less gets the market's attention.
Yeah, so essentially what it says, and if you do simple math, 100% of a total available supply divided by 12 is 8.3 or thereabouts, or 1 month's worth of supply. So they like to have a bit more than a month's worth of supply on hand for any given year. That gets you past a late harvest, probably, so that things don't get caught up without being replenished. I think that's generally the way the market thinks about this. Now, you've been looking at, and I know you read through Joe Janssen's article, and we've not talked to him, but he'll be at the Farm Assets Conference, and I think he'll probably go through some of this on Friday. I hope folks will join us there, too. Still can. Willag.org if you want to purchase your ticket. There's a link there to register. But Joe had written about how quickly farmers have been marketing their crop. You went through that and did some extra numbers. What did you think about the article?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the article. He went historically, I think over the last 6 years, when do farmers sell their grain and at what percentage? And he found that the three biggest months that farmers sell grain over the last 6 years have been October, December, and January. And then typically the farmers are 40% sold on both corn and beans by the time we get to the 1st of January. This year, we are a lot less than that, probably less than 30% sold on corn farmers are. And the reason for that, obviously, is because of the dry weather this summer. And now with the big sell-off in the prices, farmers just aren't real excited about selling at these prices. So farmers are undersold compared to the last 5 years. What I thought was interesting was that the 3 months that the farmers typically sell, October, December, January, I was just curious, has that been a good time? You know, are they selling just because they need money to pay bills, or are they selling to reward the market? And believe it or not, December, the last 5 or 6 years, has been a good time to sell corn and soybeans. So kudos to farmers. But this year, the price here in December so far has been extremely low. So this may be one of those years where maybe December is not a good month to sell. Or if the prices continue to go lower, we could look back and say, once again, December was a good month to sell. But so far, it feels like it's relatively low. And whether it's a good time or bad time, the bottom line is the farmers have chosen not to sell. It's been extremely quiet as far as farmer selling, farmer marketing is concerned here over the last 2 weeks.
A couple of notes there. You can find that article on our website. It's in the RSS list, or the list of articles that have been posted at willag.org, or you can look at it on farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And one other item, I always find this of interest, and I haven't looked at it recently, but I just typed this in so that I could pull it down and take a look at this Excel spreadsheet. But USDA's season's average cash price calculations is a simple spreadsheet that you can actually download and see. And so it'll have what is a normal, if I remember correctly, what a normal month's percent sales is, and then what current sales are, and a price as well. And so it's kind of interesting to take a look at that. You can do that by searching for season's average cash price, at least the way I did it, USDA. And it's actually kind of the second one that comes up. You're looking for the one that is from ERS. So it's ers.usda.gov. And then there's a site there. So kind of an interesting thing you can go look at yourself if you want. Now, a couple of other things that are happening in the marketplace. Argentina and Brazil. Let's start with Argentina. And I don't know whether you want to talk about the crop or about its new presidency and his impact potentially. He looks to slash the value of the currency there by 50%. That's enormous.
You're right. There's not a lot to talk about Argentine weather. They're in good shape. They continue to get good rain. So it looks like they're going to have a very good crop in Argentina. So, yeah, it's the political aspect of it, I think, that's got the traders' attention. The new president has suggested that he's going to try to tame inflation, cut the value of the peso in half. He would like to do away with the export tariffs, which the farmers would love down there, and that would lead to more farmer selling of soybeans. And that would long-term be negative to the U.S. That would be more competition for us here in the U.S. But in the short run, he's actually talked about raising export taxes, because they have to generate some money. I mean, this is not a cost-free experiment that he's talking about, and he has to get the approval of the voters and some of the other governmental parties. So in the short run, it may be a little friendly for us, but longer term, he would like to obviously cut export tariffs, and that would increase their competitiveness with us as far as export sales are concerned.
And in Brazil, it is a weather discussion.
All about the weather, yes. In the north, they've been dry. They still remain dry. We were down 20 cents on Friday because they thought it was going to rain 1 to 2 inches over the weekend in the north. Turns out they only got 1 to 2 tenths, so then beans were up 30 cents on Monday. But now they're talking about more rain in the December 20 to 30th time frame up there. And that's what's pressuring soybeans today. If those rains materialize, obviously more beans out of that area, lower prices. But the forecasts have not been real accurate, and so we'll have to wait and see. But that December 20th to 30th time frame is going to catch a lot of the beans in northern Brazil when they're setting pods and filling pods.
And finally, here in the United States, the focus is on the Federal Reserve?
Exactly. We will get some commentary from the Fed after 1 o'clock. Today, nobody's expecting them to change the discount rate or the Federal Reserve rate today, but they're going to read the comments and see if there's anything in there that would indicate that maybe we could see some drops in the interest rates in upcoming months. So everybody's expecting unchanged rates today, but they want to read the fine print, I guess.
Thank you much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Let's go through a couple of quick ag stories for the day. Argentina's new government, as we've already talked about, headed by a libertarian president now, will seek to raise export taxes to 15% on some grains, though expectantly that would not impact tariffs on soybean. The news comes a day after the economy minister there laid out economic measures to fix an embattled economy, including raising taxes on some exports. Though he said this would not apply to the agricultural sector. Argentina is one of the world's top exporters of processed soy oil and meal, the number three for corn and important producer of wheat and beef. Wheat and corn exports are currently taxed at 12%, while soybean exports are taxed at 33%. La Nación and other local media reported that the new government would seek to push through the tax increase via a bill that would be presented in the Argentine Congress. Now let's turn our attention to the Federal Reserve here today. We talked about that a bit earlier with Greg Johnson. They have kept the interest rates unchanged as of the meeting of its policy setting committee today, with the expectation that the range for the coming year will be 5.25 to 5.5%. Officials see the central bank keeping monetary policy tighter next year than many had expected. The median forecast in the Federal Open Market Committee members' latest summary of economic projections has the rate ending 2024 at 4.6%. Minor changes to the wording of the Federal Reserve's closely watched policy statement could signal, it is believed, that the bank is done raising rates. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for being with us.
You betcha. Nice day for this time of the year.
It is. Let's stay in the United States, at least to begin with, and I think maybe we'll come back to the U.S. As well, but let's deal with crops that are in the ground at this point. In the southern plains, of course, Kansas, other places, we have a hard red winter wheat crop. What are conditions like?
Well, you know, it hasn't been real good up until recently, but overnight last night, we started generating some rain out there, and this is going to turn into a very nice event from a farmer perspective. And we're going to put a lot of moisture into the ground from the heart of western Kansas straight southward through the Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma and into parts of west Texas, for that matter. The moisture totals are in general going to run 0.5 to 1.5 inches over what has already occurred, and some areas have already had 0.75 to 1 inch. There's going to be some areas that end up with 2 to 3 inch plus amounts of rain. That'll be in the eastern Texas Panhandle, maybe a part of the Oklahoma Panhandle, and a few neighboring counties. A real nice event, though. If you recall, we have some notable moisture deficits across Kansas, back into southeastern Colorado, and certainly down into west Texas, including the Texas Panhandle. And all of those areas need a significant amount of moisture before we get into the spring season. So this is a nice step forward for those folks, especially with it being so warm and dry for a big part of the autumn.
There is a new president in Argentina, and while there may be some fun things for them involved with the economy over the near term, if he is capable of managing what he's expecting to do, farmers may be very well happy and production could increase. They might be able to get things on the world marketplace more easily, meaning exports and sales. The question is, will they have a crop to sell and or store until the prices are better? So yeah. What are conditions like there?
Yeah, it's kind of exciting having the new president there and the potentials that lie therein. The weather is turning, of course. They are finally getting out of this multi-year drought that they've been in. And in this next several-day period, we're going to see some of the greatest rains that we've seen in years. The first round of heavy rains already begun. We started seeing some heavy rain last night in parts of Santa Fe and Entre Rios. And both those provinces, we ended up seeing localized amounts to 6 inches. We saw 1 to 3 inches in general. And this was just the beginning. This is an event that will last into Saturday. It will generate another 1 to 3 inches in local 6-inch amounts. So there's going to be some excessive moisture to deal with and some local flooding. This will be great for the long run, not so great for the near term. Obviously, there's going to be some water to deal with, but they have such low moisture reserves in the ground. It won't take too long for some of that moisture to soak down, but obviously they're going to need a little drier window for a little while. And they'll get a little bit of one next week, but it does look like there'll be more rain coming after that. In the meantime, in the wheat and barley production areas to the south, in Buenos Aires and La Pampa, they are seeing really good late season weather. Now, they lost a lot of production potential because it was so dry and warm for such a large part of the growing season, but the weather in the last few weeks has been really helpful for the late reproducing crop. Well, it's time to harvest that crop. And guess what? It's going to rain starting Friday and going through the weekend. And portions of Buenos Aires and La Pampa both will probably see 1 to 3 in local 4-inch plus amounts of moisture. Hopefully, it'll only last a 2 or 3 day period and they can get back into some dry weather. But, you know, whenever you're dealing with the harvest, you really don't want that kind of rain. And so that'll be something that we'll need to watch as we go forward through the weekend.
Yeah, particularly for wheat and barley, both will tend to sprout in the head, and that is not good prior to the time that you harvest the seed.
That's right.
In Brazil, work your way from the south to the north.
Yeah, the southern areas, if you recall, back in October and November, we were getting slaughtered with one extreme rain event after the other, and it just was wet, 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 flooding at this, you know, every so often, losses in planted acreage and then replanting, and it was just a terrible scenario. But when we got to the end of November, and especially so far this month, the rains have still been frequent, but they haven't been nearly as excessive. And we are starting to see a little bit of more of a positive response to the crop conditions from portions of Rio Grande do Sul into Paraná and Paraguay. Now, I say that knowing full well that it's still too wet in some of these areas, but I like the scenario that the soil there is very sandy. And so lightening up the rain and maybe getting a little bit bigger breaks between each rain event can be a positive thing for crops in that region. And I think as we move forward through the balance of December, we're going to see a general improving trend. A little farther to the north, of course, the struggle has been the dryness, especially when you get up into Mato Grosso and some northern Mato Grosso to Sul locations, and then all the way eastward from there into Bahia and parts of Piauí, which is the northeasternmost state or one of. And those areas are still dealing with dryness. I was just this morning looking at 30-day rain accumulations across some of those areas, and there's been a lot of the northeast part of Brazil that just hasn't seen much rain at all for quite a while. And so it's a pretty critical situation. Well, as we go forward through the week next week, now we'll be dry, or at least see net drying through the weekend. So until Sunday, we're not going to see any improvement in these drier areas. But as we go into next week, we will start to induce some rain and thunderstorm activity right across all of that region I just described, and we should start seeing some improvement. So the peak of the problems, at least here near term, will be probably Sunday, and we'll start seeing improvement after that. And I think this bout of improvement will probably last about 5 to 7 days, and we may slip back into some lighter precipitation relative to normal once again.
And then let's come back to the United States. In the Western Corn Belt, conditions have been dry. I know that can change maybe through the winter months, but certainly into the springtime months. Have you been thinking about that and maybe researching what the possibilities could be?
Yes, we have been. And it's a very interesting study, a little disturbing as well. You know, a lot of people are hanging their hats on El Nino. And I just urge a little caution with that. I'm not convinced that El Nino will be the dominating feature to bring adequate moisture back into the Western Corn Belt. Now, Iowa and immediate neighboring states, South Dakota, parts of southern Minnesota, even down into Kansas, are still running some enormous moisture deficits over the past year. And when I get to looking at the winter weather pattern, it doesn't support a lot of moisture coming up. But like you said, it doesn't matter so much during the winter months unless your forecast for the spring and summer is for drier, warmer scenario. And that's where my problem is. I see another opportunity for lighter than normal precipitation and warmer bias conditions coming up for the growing season, at least in the first half of the growing season. And so that puts a lot more pressure on getting better moisture in the soil while we're in the cool season. Because if we wait until April to start making it precipitate, we may run into warmer weather too soon and not be able to fully restore the moisture profile. And I do show from our 18-year cycle study and from an ENSO study where we go from a significant El Nino event to a neutral ENSO, there's a bias for below normal precipitation and warmer bias conditions in those years. And so we'll just have to sit back and wait and see a little bit, but it's time to be rooting for some better moisture in that region. And like you said, we got plenty of time to do it, and it wouldn't take more than a couple of rogue storms, and life would be a whole lot better. So we'll be looking for that.
Gotta like the rogues. Hey, thank you. Appreciate
All right.
It.
Have a great day.
That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, where you can buy your ticket for the Farm Assets Conference right now. That's on Friday of this week, still available. Or you can purchase a ticket for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You can read more about those and purchase those tickets at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The IFAS series will return to Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb January 9, 10, and 11. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.